you. And well done. Well done at the beginning there when Ali introduced that reading. I saw you laugh. For some of you, you might not know, but there's something that's been going round modern. And she introduced the reading, didn't he? From Isaiah 9. Well done. If you're thinking, what are they talking about? Ask a young person, a child, what that is all about. But it's true, isn't it? We sometimes have to make lots and lots of plans for Christmas. We always have to make lots and lots of plans for Christmas. We have to make plans about where we're going to be at Christmas. We make plans about how we're going to get there, who's going to be there, who's going to be making the food, who's going to be buying the food, what presents are we going to have to buy, which presents and when are we going to wrap them up and how are we going to get them there, who's going to... We have to make lots and lots of plans at Christmas. And I love the idea that Jesus or God had a plan as well for that first Christmas. It was a plan that had started many, many years previously. It was a perfect plan that started right the way back at the beginning of the Bible when sin came into the world. And God made that first promise in the Bible. I will crush. There'll be someone who crushes the snake's head. A promise that one day evil would be wiped out or beaten. And that was a promise that came. There was a promise later on when God made a promise to David saying that his kingdom, to King David, his kingdom would last forever. This promise is that God made. And then God made promises through people like the prophet Micah in saying that one day a Savior will come and he'll be born in Bethlehem. Another promises made through Isaiah, some that we just heard Ali read. Yeah, these promises that one day someone would come, a Savior, someone who would rescue his people, someone who would have a kingdom that would last forever. And then there was the waiting. There were so many years for the people to wait. Those promises were given, and then they had to wait. They had to trust. They had to trust that God hadn't abandoned them. The people, the nation, living through dark times, waiting. And it's true, isn't it? Sometimes we are living through dark times in our own lives because we're waiting. We're waiting for Christmas. We're waiting in a traffic jam. We're waiting for results of a test. We're waiting for news of when a surgery might happen. We're waiting for when someone might respond. And we're always, it seems, waiting for something. And it's easy, perhaps, to get frustrated. It's easy to be thinking like those people in the Bible who, for many hundreds of years after the promises, were waiting for us to think, has God abandoned me? Has God abandoned me? Has he forgotten about me while I'm waiting? Yeah, I've heard promises and I've heard things that God has done, but has God forgotten me? Just want to say something quickly at the beginning here, that God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. He is never late. So in the Bible, it says, at just the right time, this is Galatians 4, verse 4, at just the right time, God sent his son into the world. At just the right time. The people might have thought that God had forgotten his promises, but no. This was God's perfect timing. This was God's perfect timing because he always will keep his promises. In a world where so many people seem to break promises, whether it's politicians, whether it's friends, whether it's bosses, whether it's colleagues, whether it's spouses, seems that people break promises. But God is altogether different. He will not break his promises. He will always keep his promises. And we can trust his promises because he won't forget us. And he's never late. He will do things at the right time. If you're in a dark place, God will come at the right time. But even in that dark place, we can remember some of God's promises. I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you, he says in Hebrews 13. Come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. There is no condemnation. This is Romans 8. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. There are so many promises we can trust in because God is faithful. He's working his wonderful and wonder-filled plan for your life. So trust his timing. He is never late. Trust his words. He keeps his promises. Thank you. Who's making a journey this Christmas? Yeah, making a journey. Is it far? No, just down to South Sea. Yeah, okay. Anyone going further than South Sea? Yep. Sorry? Botley. Oh, now we're talking. You've got to be careful with the traffic works. And yeah, at the back there? London. Oh, we're getting a bit further. Any further than London? Yeah, just behind. Yep. Derbyshire. Oh, getting far now. Is that the furthest anyone is going? We're not a high. Anyway, I'm quite disappointed by that. But it's true, isn't it? We make lots of journeys at Christmas, and sometimes they can feel like long journeys, especially if we find ourselves having to make a long detour around the M27 or whatever it is. You know, we can be in long journeys. I was looking at what the longest journeys ever made were. The longest drive, there's a Swiss couple, Emil and Lillian Schmidt. They drove for 779,000 kilometers across 186 countries in one Land Cruiser since 1984. So I don't know how long this journey actually took them, but they've been going through 186 or more countries in one. That's a long journey. It's a fairly long journey. Carl Buschi has been walking around the world for decades. It's a fairly long journey. The people in the International Space Station continuously travel vast distances. They orbit the Earth every 90 minutes. Yeah, every 90 minutes they orbit the Earth, and they're up. They can be up there. We know, don't we? People that were stuck up there. They can orbit the Earth for many, many times in those months that they're there. But all those journeys, I think, pale into insignificance for the journey that Jesus made. Yeah, the journey that Jesus made that very first Christmas. He moved from perfection, the holiness of heaven, to a messy, broken world. He moved from glory and majesty to a place of where animals were kept that would have been smelly and ordinary. He moved from being surrounded by angels to being surrounded by farm animals and smelly shepherds. He moved from the timeless existence to the limitations of a human baby born in history. The Bible describes it like this in Philippians: though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Yeah, Jesus, that journey that he made, the significant, more significant than any other journey. And it's always good to think, well, why did Jesus make that journey? He made that journey because he thought it was worth it. It was worth it, not just so that he could flick his long golden hair and say, I'm worth it, as the water splashes out. I'm not sure he might have done that, I don't know. But he wanted to say, you're worth it. You're worth it. I want to make this journey because you are valuable. You are precious. You are the people I want to save. You are the people I want to live amongst. It showed, it was the best way of showing how much God loves us. Yeah, it showed, it demonstrated the amazing love of God. And I think it also gives us that connection between earth and heaven. We know that Jesus has come from heaven. He encourages us, or he teaches us how to pray. He teaches us how to live lives that honor God. And it creates that connection, knowing that what seems an impossible vast difference is bridged by Jesus. The longest journey ever taken. It's an impossible one for us to take without Jesus already of making that journey and loving us and finding us because of his love. Thank you. I'm sure we all like receiving or giving gifts. Do you prefer, put up your hand if you prefer receiving gifts. This is really good because you're the only one who likes receiving gifts. Everyone else prefers giving them. So you should get loads of gifts any moment now. Right, so the rest of you love giving gifts. No, you just don't care, do you? That's the thing. But it's true, isn't it? Receiving gifts and giving gifts are both really good things to do. And giving is an important part of Christmas. And I wonder what's on your been on your Christmas list this year. I wonder if it compares with some of the greatest gifts that have ever been given. For example, there was an Indian businessman, Ravi Ambani. He died in 2002. His company, Reliance Industries, was worth a load of money, and he gave it was given to his sons. And one of his sons, make sure I get the right one, Anil, spent his money
on a 34-meter yacht that he gave to his wife. And the yacht only cost £78 million. Ah, that's nice, isn't it? But it's not as big as, this one, you probably know, the Taj Mahal was a gift.
You all know this, I'm sure. Was commissioned by Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan for his favorite wife. And she died in childbirth during the birth of their 15th child. And so he gave the Taj Mahal in memory of her. And that's probably only worth £768 million. That's all. Or the biggest gift that people, well, according to Google, the biggest gift that's been given was one that was worth about £1 billion and was given by Leonard Lauder, who donated 2013 works of art to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City in 1978. And so there's a collection called the Leonard A. Lauder Collection. Consists of 33 works by Picasso and other people that I haven't heard of, but I'd heard of him. But they reckon that that was worth about £1 billion. So when you open your gift on Thursday, you can say, wow, it's not much, is it, in comparison? It's not much. But I want to think, actually, those gifts worth £1 billion are not in comparison to the gift that God gives us. Yeah, they're not in comparison to the gift that God gives us. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. The gift of Jesus given that first Christmas. It's so good, isn't it, that this gift is a personal gift. It's not just a building, not just something that people can look at. It's a gift of a person. Gift of a person who came because he wanted to demonstrate his love for you. He wanted to do something about our need, my need, your need for forgiveness. He wanted to make it possible for me, for you, to have a connection with God. For the wages of sin is death, it says in Romans 6. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Yeah, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In 1 John 4, God showed just how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that you can have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. What a gift. It's a priceless gift. It's more valuable than even an art collection worth £1 billion. It's more valuable. Yeah, because it's about eternal salvation. It's about a relationship with God that starts now and goes on forever. God saved you by his grace when you believed, says in Ephesians 2. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the things or the stuff that you have done. So we can't boast about it. It's a gift from God. And you know, the thing about art or buildings
or yachts is that they do break. They get stained. There might be a fire. But God's gift lasts forever. For God so loved the world. John 3:16, familiar verse, I'm sure, to many. God so loved the world that he gave, this was a gift, that he gave his only son, so that anyone who believes in him will not fade or perish or be destroyed by fire or sink in the sea, will not perish, but have eternal life. That is the gift that God offers, the wonderful gift. Yes, we might be waiting, but God's timing is perfect. Yes, we might be thinking about the journeys we have to make, but God's journey was more than any other and demonstrates how much he loves us because he wants us to receive this gift. And this Christmas, I want to be someone who says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this gift. Thank you for this forgiveness. Thank you for this assurance of your love. Thank you for this eternal life that we can enjoy. Thank you for this relationship with the Father that we can have because of the gift of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the incredible story, the incredible events of that first Christmas. When we feel impatient, when we feel that we're alone in the darkness, let us look to that first Christmas and trust that you are the one who makes promises. Trust you are the one who keeps promises. Trust you are the one who has perfect timing. And Lord, we thank you for making the longest journey. Thank you that you wanted to demonstrate that we are valuable. We are worth the sacrifice that you made. And Lord, help us to receive the greatest gift. Help us to receive this wonderful, indescribable, priceless, permanent, personal gift that gives us life, gives us forgiveness, gives us hope, and is only comes through you, Jesus. We choose to receive your gift. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.